WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, in for Terry Gross. Saxophonist Ravi Coltrane bears one of the most significant names in jazz. His father was John Coltrane. His mother is jazz pianist Alice Coltrane, who named her son after Ravi Shankar. Now Ravi Coltrane is coming into his own as a musician. He's played with such artists as Roy Hargrove, Charlie Hayden, Kenny Barron, and Elvin Jones, who for many years was a member of the John Coltrane Quartet. Ravi Coltrane spoke recently with Terry Gross. His new CD, Moving Pictures, is his first recording as a leader.
Ravi Coltrane, this is your first album as a leader. Would you share with us some of the thinking behind the CD, what you wanted to communicate through the choice of compositions, sidemen, etc.? What you wanted the CD to say about your arrival as a leader?
Well, I felt this with this record, I didn't feel like I was a new artist, really. You know, I felt that I kind of was around enough for maybe some people to kind of get used to the direction I've been going in and some of the types of associations I've had over the years. And I felt that with a lot of debut records, there's this a tendency to always kind of have everything out there, your whole, everything you have to offer. And sometimes that makes for a nice record. And most of the times I don't always... you know, I didn't want to make a record like that, you know, where you do a little of this and a little of that and a little of this and to try to give the whole story in the first record. I think that with this one, I wanted it to be kind of understated, I guess, and kind of not telling the whole story, but maybe just part of the story.
You play tenor and soprano, same instruments as your father. Did you intend it that way?
No. Nothing, there was no real design at all. There was no pre-plan in how I came about into to dealing with jazz music or dealing with the saxophones or dealing with tenor and soprano specifically. It happened in a way that was pretty natural, you know. And
what was that way?
Well, I got really caught up in music, you know. As I got older, I started hearing my father's music in a way that I hadn't really heard as a younger person, and you know, from that it allowed me to listen to other players like Charlie Parker and Sonny Rollins. I always name those two because they were real early listening experiences that I had that were really meaningful. I've heard the music all my life, but it really didn't affect me until I got older. I wasn't thinking about jazz as a young person, you know. I spent more time listening to the things that we always listen to, you know, Kool and the Gang and Earth, Wind, and Fire, and, you know, the Jackson 5 and James Brown. You know, I mean, really, you know, my early years of listening to music. Later on, I started listening to, you know, the Beatles and things like that, and a lot of classical music and things. And the jazz, it was fun, but it hadn't made a real impact, you know, beyond just it being a fun music.
I know you never really knew your father. I think he died before you were two.
Yeah, he died in 67. I was born in 65.
So, but you knew of him through his music. Did you, when you were young, did you investigate his life at all? Did you feel this kind of emotional desire to know more about the man who was your father?
Well, I've always had a sense of who he was as a person from, you know, things I've been told, you know, by my family, you know. So that aspect was, you know, I never felt a complete void there. You know, there was mm-hmm. always, you know, there was always that I could... that I could have and hold on to, you know. As far as the musical history, that was something that I had to do myself, and it didn't happen until I got older, you know.
How old were you when you realized how your father was revered, and it really went beyond admired into revered? And what impact did it have on you to get a sense of that?
As I got older, I started to become more aware that he was. You know, his impact was greater than, you know, the things that I had seen as a younger person, you know, and those things were just within our kind of household, I guess, you know, and I was a real admirer of my mom. You know, she raised me, and I, you know, had opportunities to go into the studio with her and travel with her, so I always knew that there was a kind of thing, you know, for her and my father, obviously, but as, you know, as I got out on my own, I could see how my father's music was, you know, it seemed to have been influencing a lot of people, you know, people that I hadn't, you know, even imagined that it might influence.
Ravi Coltrane is my guest, and he has his first CD as a leader. It's called Moving Pictures, and it features him on tenor and soprano saxophone. In fact, why don't we pause here to listen to a track that features you on soprano saxophone.
Okay.
Why don't we hear In Three for Thee? Do you want to say something about this before we hear it?
Well, just briefly, it's an older tune. Most of the compositions on the record, I guess, maybe came about in the last year or so. But this tune, I think I wrote when I was still in college, and it was written for my niece before she was born.
Okay.
So that's the story there.
Well, I should also ask you this. How did you start to play soprano?
The soprano came first, actually. I was, you know, I played the clarinet in junior high and high school, and my mother bought me a soprano when I was 16, and it was her only real kind of overt sort of push into, you know, why don't you check this out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of my life, she never said, you should check this out, or you should play jazz, or you should do this, or, you know, she never pushed any kind of music on us or anything, really. You know, when we had a desire for something, she would support it, you know. So when I played the clarinet, she kind of made sure I had a nice instrument and I got private lessons and things like that. And but the soprano was, I think, her kind of way of saying, well, you know, maybe it's time to you know, check this out if you like. And so that was the first instrument, really, that I played, of the saxophones.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, let's hear In Three for Thee from Ravi Coltrane's new CD, Moving Pictures. That's Ravi Coltrane on soprano saxophone from his new CD, Moving Pictures. And it's his first CD as a leader.
Maybe the last. No, just kidding.
You don't mean that. Now, I know you had an older brother, John Coltrane Jr., who died in a car accident, I believe, in 1982. How old was he at the time of his death?
He was 17. Mm-hmm. He was 17, just shy of 18.
What happened?
It was a very unfortunate accident, you know. He had been hanging out with some friends, you know, and, you know, you're at that age where, it's cool to be hanging out later and later each night and, you know, drinking beer and things like that. It's this new thing. And he felt that he couldn't drive himself, so he let his friend drive, you know, and his friend was even more, you know, out of it than my brother was at this time. And his friend fell asleep at the wheel and they ran into a row of parked cars. And, it was a real wake-up call, you know, a real wake-up call for all of us, you know.
Did it make you any more careful or care less in your life?
It made me think a lot more about, what we're supposed to be doing while we're here, I guess, you know. I think the break from childhood, I guess, after he passed, everything kind of stopped for me, and I took about 4 years where I didn't do anything. I didn't play any instruments or any music, and just kind of thought about trying to find some direction, I guess, trying to find something. And
why did you stop playing? Did that seem like a frivolous direction and one that you should give up in the light of this tragedy in your family?
Everything shut down, everything shut down. There was no choice or any conscious thought about it. Everything shut down, I took the test to leave school a year early. I just, it was unbelievable, it was too hard to function, doing anything at that time. And it took me a while. It took me until about 19, he passed in the summer 82, and it took me about till 85, 86 to really get it together again, to really, to try to start up again. And I don't just mean music. I mean, just as a person, I guess,
It's a really treacherous period to be shut down in. Those are such formative years.
Most definitely. A lot of my friends were going off to college, and I was still, trying to figure out what I was going to do, and, just kind of floating, I call it. I was, letting time go by. And, at this time I started playing my father's records to kind of get, that history thing with him that I hadn't really had, didn't really have a solid grasp on that, growing up. I wanted to have, a deeper knowledge of his thing, and... That's when the music started speaking to me. I think that I never realized it until this year when I started doing these interviews and talking about these things so much. I think that's how it kind of happened for me. That there was a real void in my life, and that the music it had another effect on me at this point. There was something in the sound of it, in my father's music. There was like a calling that I hadn't heard before, It was something that, I don't know.
So how did you decide to start playing it more seriously yourself?
It was, that part was not the plan part. I was getting so involved as a listener and really enjoying the music on, this other level that I wanted to see if it was something that I could do as a player, And, I had never really had any training in improvising or studied any type of jazz music before. And I just wanted to go to school to see if it was something that I, might have any ability, in or any desire to do, really. I was really enjoying the music as a listener, and I wanted to see if playing could be, in there.
Is this when you started studying with Charlie Hayden at the California Institute of the Arts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That must have been interesting for you because, Charlie Hayden is, one of the, greatest jazz bass players, and surely he knows your father's music.
Mm-hmm.
And was it intimidating to study with Charlie Hayden? And feeling that, I don't know how old you were then, but
I was 21.
It was just considered kind of old. Start studying seriously.
Most definitely. And I wish that I could have been involved in doing this earlier and earlier. But my life developed the way it did, and I fortunately got involved when I did.
Saxophonist Ravi Coltrane is Terry's guest. His new CD is Moving Pictures. We'll hear more of their conversation after the break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back now to Terry's interview with saxophonist Ravi Coltrane.
I think a problem for anyone who starts playing seriously or starts playing at all when they're a little bit older is that your ability to hear goes so far beyond your ability to play. And mm-hmm. for some people, that's paralyzing. Did you feel at that point when you started seriously playing that you were a much more sophisticated listener than you were a player? And did that ever, trouble you or cripple you?
Well, considering I couldn't play at all when I started school, I was young as a listener too, really. You know, there were things
right.
I hadn't, you know,
right.
there was a lot of music that I hadn't heard. There's a lot of music today that I'm still trying to get to. You know, there's so much great music in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, working with Charlie, when I started there, like I said, I couldn't play at all. But my mother, has this association with Charlie that goes way back. And, I felt comfortable around him in that sense because I had met him before on several occasions. But, musically, I was kind of thrown into situations that I was definitely not ready for because of who I was, that made it a little trickier for me.
When you started listening more seriously to your father's records, did it help give you clues about him as a person?
I feel that as my ears have changed and as I've grown as a musician, I've started to, to hear, I guess, more of a depth, I guess, in what was happening musically in the quartet and my father's writing and his improvisations, even especially in the later periods. I feel there's a thread really that runs through all of his work, even up until 66 and 67, that goes way back to him playing with Monk and Miles and even in R&B groups and things with Dizzy, that right there shows you the kind of long range thinking, the kind of focus where you don't always know where you're going, but that you are headed in a direction, you can hear that dedication, it's very, very clear.
I'm wondering if there are any people who come to your concerts who are also like great admirers of your father's and, devoted fans of his work, and if they project anything onto you and if they want to use you to get at his memory in any way. Do you know what I mean? Of being somebody who other people project things onto.
Right, right. I think people are, nostalgia is kind of, I don't know how I feel about that, but people say, "Oh, you're filling his shoes, or you're carrying his torch," and I don't see it like that. I'm extremely influenced by him, and this person is not only a my father, but somebody I have this great, great respect for, and I want to use his influence in a way that's not just about copying his licks, as we say, there's other ways to deal with a person's influence, and I'm trying to find those ways, not only with John Coltrane's music, but with all the music that I like, and I'm trying to put that across in the things that I do, like with this record and just how I present myself on gigs or as a sideman or wherever, I think I'm trying to say that I understand you, and I understand that you might want these things or see these things, and you, you want me to be these things for you, but I'm trying to do something different. And maybe if you get past that thing, you know, maybe, you know, what I'm doing will be okay for you.
Well, Ravi Coltrane, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, thanks, Terry. Thank you.
Ravi Coltrane spoke recently with Terry Gross. He performs at New York's Town Hall on June 14th. He'll be playing with his mother, Alice Coltrane. Ravi Shankar will also perform in the program. The concert is billed an evening of Ravi's. I'm Barbara Bogave, and this is Fresh Air.